And welcome to the 31st episode of Good Copy, Bad Copy. I'm Emily King, Radix's marketing executive. Today I'm joined by Fiona Campbell-Howes, Radix's founder and lead copywriter.
Hello.
In this episode, we're going to be discussing the use of editorial boards in content marketing and how they can help organisations create content that fits their content marketing strategy. So why are we talking about this chosen topic? Well, the latest report from Content Marketing Institute and Marketing Profs on B2B marketing in North America has yet again shown that the number one challenge for content marketers is still producing engaging content. We found previously that an editorial board is a great way of making sure the content that you're creating is consistently engaging and relevant for your audience. But obviously, you know, what the heck is an editorial board, Fiona?
Yeah, so I think, like you just said, Emily, editorial board is an approach that we're taking with quite a few of our clients to get over that challenge that you just mentioned, which is that marketers are finding it a challenge to create content that really speaks to their audiences and really resonates with their audiences and gets the kind of response that they want. And I think we've also seen, we probably all know the stat that 70% of marketing content goes unused. So an editorial board is also a way to get around that and make sure that more of the content that gets created by marketing actually gets used by marketing and also by sales. So an editorial board is a process that we use with quite a few of our clients, whereby you kind of choose a team of people who are interested in creating content for the organisation. So it's not necessarily just marketing.
Yeah, it could be people from sales.
Absolutely. And we found that it works really well when there are other people on it, including people who are actually talking to customers every day, yeah. Like salespeople, and who therefore know what customers are looking for and what customers need in terms of information. And we've quite often found that even sort of more senior C-level people like to get involved with the editorial board and like to get involved with suggesting ideas for content for the organisation to create. So it's basically a regular meeting of a team of people from the client and from us as copywriters who've got an interest in creating content for the organisation.
Why would an organisation want to consider having an editorial board? What would perhaps make them think that their current process isn't working for them and that they really should consider having one?
Yeah, so I think we know from the stats that we've seen that lots of organisations don't have a documented content strategy, but they still want to create content. You know, they know the value of content. They know they need to be creating content on a regular basis, but they don't have a documented content strategy as such. So the editorial board is a way of, I mean, we would never encourage our clients not to have a documented content strategy, but the editorial board is a way of at least having a process in place whereby you know you're always creating content and you're always creating content that is relevant to your audience. So it's really just a kind of governance process to make sure that content's getting created and that the right people are inputting on it, and that it's sort of regularly being reviewed and it's staying on track, basically.
Out of interest, does it perhaps enable things to move a little bit smoother in terms of content creation?
It's definitely gets things to move a bit smoother in terms of how long it takes to approve things, because when we run editorial boards with our clients, we tend to run them as a fortnightly call. So, you know, you all convene on this call for half an hour. There is an editorial calendar, which we'll probably come on to talk about in a little while. But you convene on this call. I mean, you look at how the content you've previously produced has been performing, and you look at the content ideas that you've got in the calendar, and then you can prioritise content ideas at that point. But you can also look at anything that's got stuck, and then you've got the right people on that call to provide their feedback and approval. So it does keep things moving, definitely.
So obviously with these editorial boards, where for the funnel and what personas, or is it everything being considered within that editorial board?
Yeah, so I think this is another really important aspect of it, and this is where it works really well, is once you've got all of those people together and you're regularly looking at what content you're going to produce and the ideas that you've come up with for content, you've got that process in place where you can make sure on each of these calls that you're creating content for each of your personas, because it's quite easy to sort of lose track and start sort of doing what people call random acts of content, whereby you just sort of come up with an idea and create something and you're not tracking that that it's for the right persona or for the right audience or for the right funnel stage. So with the editorial board process, you can make sure that you're creating content across your personas, across the different funnel stages that your buyers go through when they're contemplating purchase from your organisation, and that you're hitting all of your themes. We find that quite a few of our clients have different themes that they would like to talk about in their content. So once you've got this editorial board in place, you can make sure that you're creating content across all of those different vectors.
But as you've said, ideally there's a content strategy already underpinning all of these meetings in some way, a written, documented strategy.
Ideally there is, but if that isn't in place, what we tend to do with this editorial board is that we'll work out, at the very least, we'll work out the individual personas that the organisation is wanting to target, and we'll look at the various themes, which are almost kind of key messaging areas that the organisation wants to write about, or they might be sort of different pain points that the audience have. And we'll also look at the individual funnel stages just to make sure that we're creating content at each of those. So if there's no content strategy in place, then this is a kind of lightweight way to have that kind of framework, yeah.
Okay. Well, then, we've said that there was kind of like there should be a mixture of people on the board, but who should you at least guarantee is on an editorial board for an organisation?
That's a really good question. So, I mean, definitely the people that are going to be writing the content, so that's us normally, so you would want your copywriter on the call. Definitely, as this is a marketing initiative, at least one person from marketing, and we found it really valuable to have a head of sales, sales representative on those calls, because like I said, they're the people that know what customers are looking for, but they also know what we found really valuable is when we've had a salesperson on those calls is, you know, they can say, oh, you know, I was talking to this prospect the other week and they said, could I send over some information on X? And we didn't have any written information on X. So, you know, these calls were a really good way of identifying what content is missing, especially from the sales enablement point of view, and then get that created. And we found it quite valuable to have sort of senior level executives on that call as well, because you know, they're the ones with the insight and the vision into, you know, where the organisation is going, and you know, what customers are looking for at the highest level. So
of interest with the fact that obviously like sales being involved in figures that seem to suggest that a lot of content that marketing might create for sales is often overlooked by sales.
Yeah.
When they're involved in the content creation with something like an editorial board, does this mean that perhaps they're more likely to use content that's been created through that process and stop it being wasted?
Yeah, we've definitely found that. So when we've had these calls and a salesperson said, oh, I really need this piece of content, and we've then obviously gone away and created it, and then, you know, in future calls when you come back, you kind of review with them, how has this content performed or how useful have you found it? We've had really good feedback from that yes, this was a piece of content that we were missing, and we've been able to use it, and it's generated leads for us, which is really nice to hear.
Of course, we're not actually just doing editorial boards with clients. We do actually have our own internal editorial board, which we run every 2 weeks in the office, get as many team members as possible in and discuss things.
Yeah, and that's in fact this is where we got the idea from to run this with our clients, but that's something that you've pioneered with Redix. So do you want to talk a bit about how that works for ourselves?
Well, my previous experience of running editorial boards was sort of doing it for websites that were kind of talking about geek culture and gaming culture. And the sort of the idea is obviously to not necessarily generate short items all the time, but to think about sort of longer pieces of content, but stuff that obviously is going to be of value. And we sort of introduced the editorial board sort of, I'm not sure if it was after we'd gone through writing a content strategy for the first time and tried a year of not having an editorial board. But then after we did the second content strategy, it was like, yes, we'll have an editorial board this year. And sort of brought that in and had a calendar, an editorial calendar to go with the editorial board, so that we could sort of coordinate what was happening a bit, but also just so that people knew what was going on. Though of course you still got to get people to actually check things. If they're like, oh, is such and such happening at the moment, it's like, well, you still need to get people to remember that. You need a degree of buy-in to make sure that people check what's happening.
Yeah, and I think, you know, once you have got people on board, I think one of the most important things about this process is it's not just a sort of planning process for what content do we need to create. It's a really good forum for people to come up with ideas and to kind of bounce ideas around. And then once you've got people in the room talking about ideas for content that we could create, you know, more ideas come out of that. And so I think you get maybe a richer variety of content and better ideas and more ideas than, you know, if it was just one or two people coming up with, oh, you know, what content should we create this year. If you've got a wide variety of people all coming up with ideas, who and also who've been sort of out reading things, reading around topics, talking to customers, visiting, going to events, you know, sort of, and bringing all of that back to the editorial board with ideas sourced from outside of the organisation for things to create, that's when it starts to work really well.
Sophia, I mean, generally with clients at least, how does the process work?
Yeah, so I think because we tend to have senior level executives from our clients on these editorial boards, we want to, you know, make as efficient use of their time as we can. And we recognise that these are really busy people, so we don't want to take up too much of their time. So we try to keep the calls themselves really quite short and focused. They'll generally not be more than half an hour. And they'll take place at a set time every 2 weeks. And there will be a set agenda for those calls. So what we tend to do is, if it's not the first call, what we tend to do is we'll review how previous content has performed. We'll kind of go around the table gathering content needs. So as I was saying before, if somebody from sales has a particular need for a piece of content, then we'll talk about that. And then we'll kind of look at ideas, you know, what have people seen, what have people heard from customers, what have they seen a need for in the marketplace in terms of content, and come up with some ideas based on that. All of this will be sort of looking at our editorial calendar as well, and then we'll sort of plan and prioritise the content to be created over the next couple of weeks. So it's not a long range planning tool at all. It's quite tactical, and looking at, you know, what content should we be creating over the next couple of weeks before the next call. Like I said, the whole thing centres around a shared calendar. So once that call's over, we as the copywriters will go away and update that calendar, and then everyone can see that at all times to make sure to see what content is being created.
Well, obviously, I suppose the tools available for organising editorial boards and sort of like the editorial calendar, which basically is what everyone ends up referencing inside and outside of meetings. Obviously, some people can use things like could use a Google Calendar or something like that. But I personally prefer, and this is what we use Trello, quite handy. At least you can get an overview of what's happened with things and whether or not things are working at the moment.
Yeah, I like Trello, and I think it's worked really well for us internally as an editorial calendar tool. What we found with clients is that they already have lots of tools that they're using, and so they like this to be as kind of easy and lightweight as possible. And we also like to make them feel that they don't have to do lots of work. So what we found works best when we're doing this with clients is literally just to use Google Docs and to use a spreadsheet in Google Docs as a shared spreadsheet and just run the calendar like that. So it's really easy. Everyone knows how to work a spreadsheet. Everyone can see it. They don't get alerts for things they need to do, but I think that's all right because it's generally us that needs to do the work. So it's generally us that's doing the writing. And yeah, I mean, we've kind of suggested various different approaches for tools to clients, but Google Docs seems to be the one that works the best.
But obviously, we're making it sound all so easy, but what are some of the challenges for running an editorial board?
Yeah. Well, I think if it goes well, it can be really easy. If you get into a good rhythm with it, you know, if the clients see the value of it, you know, they will turn up to the calls, they will come with their ideas, they will suggest content. But I think the key is if they see the value in it. So it's really important to stay on track, and it's really important on each call to review the content that's already been created and make sure that it's doing its job and make sure they're seeing some value from it. Because if they don't see the value from the content that's created from these calls, then they won't want to turn up to them, and there's no real point in doing them. I mean, because the whole idea, the whole aim, the whole objective is to create content that is valuable and useful and engaging to the audience and actually gets the results that they need.
I suppose one of the problems that we have, at least internally, is making sure that people can turn up. Like, we have the set slots, but if people are too busy, then sometimes attendance can drop off. yeah. basically.
And I think that's true with clients as well. Yeah. Or often, you know, people will turn up, but they haven't had time to think about any ideas. So, you know, it's nice if people have had some time beforehand to think about, you know, what needs to be done or think about ideas for content to create. So with some clients, it can be challenging because it, just because they're so busy to actually get that time, get them to spend that time thinking of ideas.
What results have we seen from editorial boards that we've run, though? I mean, good pieces of content that have, like, come out of it and done what needs to be done.
Yeah, definitely. I think I mentioned this before. Where it seems most valuable for me is when on the call, in discussion on the call, you identify a real need for a piece of content, or you identify a gap where we don't have any content, and then we go away and create that, and then it actually does the job that people suspected it might do. So that's always really gratifying to hear, and that's what, you know, shows the value of this process to the clients as well. So that's one result that we've seen, and the other one is just the whole thing of making sure, you know, it's a way to track that you're creating content for all of your personas. At all of your funnel stages, across all of your themes. And so it's just a really good way to track that coverage is actually happening, and you're not sort of focusing too much in one direction and not enough in another direction.
I think for us, the result I've seen is that we get more content when we actually successfully run meetings, and also people are a bit more invested in it, rather than, because obviously, like, I write some of it, and then some of our own copywriters write some of it. But when I haven't dictated to them they've got to write about a specific thing, when they've had an investment in the idea, in what we're actually generating, they tend to write about it far more enthusiastically when it's an idea that they've helped generate.
Yeah, and I think what's really nice about ours is that people think they don't have any ideas, and then they actually come to one of the meetings, and once you start talking, we always end up coming up with loads of really brilliant ideas.
Send an email around asking for ideas. No ideas. Talk to people about it, either in person or over the phone. Oh, suddenly there's ideas.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it is a really good process for generating ideas, definitely.
Well, that's all we've got time for in this episode of Good Copy, Bad Copy. You can follow Radix on Twitter at radix.com, and you'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for a monthly e-newsletter for the latest copywriting tips and insights.